So they have all the cards. They set the terms. They set those terms in opposition to our nature, our biological inheritance of mutual aid, and then raise before our eyes our violent reaction to it, to these terms of coercion, both tangible and tacit, as we strive under them to survive. And adding insult to injury, the state then sets us up as culprit, even as it unleashes its violence upon us. Coercion, that term, encompasses all violence. It's the more accurate one to use. So let's substitute it. Just doing that one thing expands our thinking. You'll see what I mean when we start doing it. Coercion is in every nook and cranny of our lives. Compulsion is in every phrase they train us with. When we start thinking in terms of that, compulsion, coercion, force, we'll see that there's no aspect of our lives that isn't dogged by it. So let's use coercion. In this quote from Terence Hopkins, he reminds us that the state gets to say what is legitimate, quote unquote, violence. Robert Burns reminds us that it's precisely such prerogatives of the state that are the source of all violence. Quote from Terence Hopkins. Moreover, even at the theoretical level, the shift of Marx's focus away from the noisy sphere of political economy, and he's talking about his shift away when he wrote Class Struggles in France, 1848 to 1850. So that turn away in that book did not imply any belittlement of the nation state as the main locus of political power. That is, of the monopoly of the legitimate use of violence over a given territory. This power embodied in nation states, whatever its origins, could obviously be used and has indeed generally been used simultaneously in two directions. As an aggressive defensive instrument of intra-capitalist competition in the world economy and as an aggressive defensive instrument of class struggle in national locales. True, the growing density and connectedness of world economic networks on the one hand, and the displacement of class contradictions from the marketplace to the workplace on the other, would ultimately make nation states obsolete from both points of view. In my interjection, so we see here, Terence Hopkins in 1982 is when he spoke these words, or these words were presented. I'm probably written, 1981, perhaps. So power, at the very least, has had the heads up on this problem, quote unquote, of the nation state since at least then. And that's all they devote their time to. Terence Hopkins points this out as well in quoting Adam Smith. Visit that page. We're going to be discussing that issue. But he quotes Adam Smith saying that it's only the, using my terminology here, it's only power that cares about the overall, the broad picture. It's only power that sees from the vantage of the whole and therefore plans and therefore has nothing but time to think on, because they have the resources and the scope to think long. So we have to really claim that big space in order to challenge power. We're going to be talking more about this. So power has had the heads up on nation state is problematic for at least since Terence Hopkins pulled their coat. And so it makes this debut which we mentioned of the book Empire in 2001, I think it was, or 2000, 20 years later. seem less than monumental